You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today let's talk lumberjacks. We'll call this the Timber Beast edition. We're going to take a little stroll through that world of old lumberman hell raising and little sojourns along the way. Not one unifying theme, but we're just going to kind of ramble as we go. Let's start out with some lumberjack vocabulary. Timber Beast. Well, that is a lumberjack who is also notoriously strong or prone to scuffle. I love Timber Beast, man. That's sweet stuff there. Now, how prone to fight were these early Timber Beasts to throw down? We're going to come back to that. Now, let's do some more vocabulary. Let's talk Timber Cruiser. A timber cruiser was once skilled in walking miles of trackless forest to estimate the value of standing timber. Now keep in mind, in these early days, this was a job done afoot, all right? There's no trucks to get to the trail, no ATV on the trail, hell, no trail. It's just you, the timber cruiser, your cruiser's ex, and your what was called the cruiser sheet iron, which was a portable collapsible stove for the day spent in trackless forest in the course of doing the job. Some of these folks did it on horseback, some didn't, because we're talking about you're moving the whole lot of scrub, and really a lot of it came down you having to hack through and move this through this sort of thing. Depends on the kind of forest that you were in. If you're anything similar to the Appalachian forest we have around here, you let the rhododendron start moving on you. I mean, that's it. It is. That's why we come up with Tennessee walking horses, things that can move through a single track trail and be able to step over the top of constant felled trees, because they're coming down all the time in this a bit of a rainforest we have, a temperate rainforest we have around here. Anyway, timber cruisers were infamous for the miles covered in a short amount of time. We also have to think about, compare this to the warriors of the Southern Plains. We're looking at the Comanches, the Apaches, the Navajo, the Hopi, the Choctaw. I mean, there's so many that were noted for being able to travel miles and miles and miles on foot. And we're talking crazy rapid miles with elevation gains and such. It's not necessarily running whatsoever. Again, this is pathless miles. There's scrub and terrain of all sorts. These were men with what was called at the time bottom, which meant stamina. Was walking different then? Well, hell yeah. A little bit, how different was it? There'll be a little bit of an extract from our material on warrior walking, which is our, you know, our program where we try to offer, we take the indigenous ways of walking from many of the past warrior tribes, and we shoot it through the scientific spectrum, and then show you how you can do it on your own, and not really, you know, you can walk yourself lean, and you can, it's really the only cardio you need. You don't have to put in 10,000 steps a day. Hell, you can do 7,000 steps a day, but you do it in this style. It's far more efficient, but it's going to pump you up more quickly. Anyway, was walking different then? Yes, absolutely, of course. And pure daily mileage, of course, because that's where we're even getting down. We're going to have, you know, high-tech step trackers just to remind us to get up and move around so we can kind of look at that paltry count and going, you kidding me? I'm only moving that much? And keep in mind, if you are moving 10,000 steps per day, which they're saying was a nice minimum for any kind of, you know, health support or longevity, you know what that is? That's about 3.4 miles. My God, is that ridiculously lean. So, of course, compared to the old days and pure mileage, is it different? Yes. Now, we've done many blogs and, on this, and we've also done many podcasts on this, so you can kind of pour through the archives there and get more support for it. But the better question is not to compare to the quantity of walking we do now compared to our long past. It is rather how we walk. Has that changed? And again, studies of extant hunter-gatherer culture show that there is indeed a marked difference in the how. One not necessarily relying on the it's because of the shoes we wear hypothesis. I mean, there might be a little bit of grain in truth to that, but often hunter-gatherer populations with shoes or without show a marked difference in locomotion from first world walkers, that is the you and me. So there was a difference not only in the amount, but the efficiency, the effectiveness, even down to the stride, everything down to how the shoulders hit, how the thumbs point, how the fingers point. Is it really different? Yeah. And it's something that we have to re-educate. Yet whenever you're looking at this, you can play with National Geographic photos if you want and look from the early days of the end of the 19th century editions of the National Geographic, the Royal Geographic Society as well, their publication, and move it through now. You look at the early photos of people in movement from so-called hunter-gatherer cultures, and you're seeing, and there's a remarkable correlation across how these mechanics are being put together, and it doesn't look like what we do now. It might be some subtleties, but they're huge. Hunter-gatherer populations with shoes or without shows this marked difference. These third world studies of how to walk hold echoes of the warrior walking practices we put into play in our warrior walking program, which primarily we're pulling sources from the American frontier, where we had a few wonderful people actually put some of this expression into words, and we had to kind of, you know, synthesize, get it all in one spot so we can make it and work for us. Anyway, enough freebie stuff about that. If you want more information, our warrior walking program, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go in there and take a look more of it. But I guarantee you, if you want to take a look at it, I mean, you're getting the printed syllabi and over an hour's worth on how to retrain your walking. Yeah, that much detail in it? You're damned right there is. Let's get back to the lumberjacks, about that fighting there. Lumberjacks loved to scuffle. How much do they like it? Well, if you already subscribe to our blog or our podcast or our newsletter, these are all free. You already have an insight. We've covered lumberjacks many, many a time. And if you subscribe to the Black Box subscription service, which is our instructional program, which is, you know, printed material and video material each and every month right there in your little inbox, or your old school mailbox. We've already been hip to some tons of lumberjack material. But speaking of tactics, there is more to come. I've got in my hot little hands some God wonderful firsthand, not just accounts, even down to the how-tos. These are some tattered sources and journals, but they're gorgeously limbed and wonderful. We'll be presenting more of this material to the Black Box Brotherhood. None of that will go out to the freebie side of things. Anyway, again, that newsletter's free, the blog's free, podcast is free, Black Box subscription service, that ain't free because, you know, a lot of time and effort goes on that. Back to the lumberjack stuff. There was a phrase, particularly in the Wisconsin lumberjack tradition, called Hayward, Hurley, and Hill. Hayward, Hurley, and Hill is Hayward and Hurley were actually two towns in Wisconsin where one could acquire accommodating ladies. And Hayward Lightning. What was Hayward Lightning? Well, that was cheap whiskey. So this is actually the phrase is redolent of the feeling of the mythos of the lumberjacks, and not just Wisconsin, all areas. Hayward, Hurley, and Hill, meaning they're there to raise hell. The hell in the phrase. Well, that was the opportunity to prove yourself in a fight against timber beasts from other outfits. And a man tweren't no man at all if he didn't sport lumberjack smallpox. What is that? Well, that's more vocabulary for you. Lumberjack smallpox. These are the scars from receiving a stomping from the spikes that were worn in the boots of these timber beasts to aid traction while logging atop a log. So you've seen these guys throw on their spikes when they're doing the burling and stuff and moving along the log. These spikes were called caulks. Well, actually, this is pronounced corks, but it's spelled like caulk, like a caulking gun. C-A-U-L-K, and that's caulk, but it was pronounced cork. And so you put your corks on, and you still wore them into town. Now, why would you do that? Because you're not actually going to be on top of a log. Well, because you want to have them worn into town in case do you want to aid and abet your scuffling. These were not nice things. Your job was to try to get the man down and put the boot to him. Actually, men put the corks to them. Actually, one more frontier history for you. We've seen those wonderful brass rails or metal rails that go along the bottom of bars. A lot of us think that's ornamental. It's not at all. Bars began having those metal foot rails due to the timber beast propensity for wearing their corks into town. Wouldn't take them off, and there used to be the footrest down there. You would have a step up there that was made from the lumber. Those were all getting chewed up, so you're thinking, rather than keep replacing those, let's have something they can bear up under these corks. Now, we have done a print version of this in our newsletter, and there we actually give you from the old archives, from the Smithsonian, a lumberjack tune. It's called How We Got Back Into the Woods Last Year. It's very mournful. It's by O.K. Abbott. It's actually beautiful and mournful, and I dig it. It's completely unaccompanied musically. It's just the voice giving you the feel for what you might have heard in the woods. And again, if you can get the free newsletter, you've already got the link in there. You can hear this wonderful tune. As for you Black Box brothers and sisters out there over in the members-only forum, we're getting ready to let you know we're coming up very soon for a new aspect of that lumberjack combat called, it could be squared fisticuffs or railed fighting. Most of these terms have showed up. It was originally a game, and that game, I'm saying that word scare quotes in the same sense that Cornish purring was a game amongst miners. Now, is this railed fighting street ready? Well, you're damned right, 200%. And again, coming soon in that Black Box program we're talking about, we're going to talk about this game that begins in a non-telegraphed position. That's how it was done. So the point was to be Johnny Jump to the knockdown from the word go. There were specific tactics developed for the game. It has to be from a non-telegraphed position. And all these tactics carry some wallop. Those only men who swing axes all damn day could conjure. Is it street ready? You're damned right. It's ready from the get-go. So it gets you all for the street. We're talking about there's nothing about it that looks like a fighting position, but it goes straight from this position to bam, it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. Anyway, crew, if you've enjoyed this, I want you to have a hell of a day, whether you enjoyed it or not. I appreciate the hell out of you for doing this. And I lost a good man this weekend, and many of you reached out on social media to pass along your good words. It means the world. I really do appreciate it. Anyway, if you like the podcast, like, support, share, and all of that noisy algorithm guys, look kindly on it. And to my cousin, brother, I love you. Take care. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages if you like musings.